Elizabeth Stack, executive director of the Irish American Heritage Museum, says one of the best things about being a National Museum of Immigrant History is the sense of community. She says it used to be a homing beacon where people could come and share their experiences, but the pandemic has taken that away for now. She says it stings the most around St. Patrick's Day.
It's just you're missing out on the contact with people. We normally have a craft market around St. Patrick's Day. That's not happening. So it's very much all of the content is happening, but it's online. So you're in your own home, you know. So we have very interesting talks still to come in the rest of the month. And the run, you know, is on for a week, but everyone is celebrating singly, kind of, you know.
Stack says the two largest sources of revenue for the museum are the yearly gala, also a COVID casualty, and St. Patrick's Day events like the soda bread competition and the sweater run, which she says has gone virtual with markedly less participation this year.
We've had people contact us to say, look, I love doing it. You know, I did it the last 3 years, but I don't want to run on my own, or I'm sick and tired of the treadmill. So, you know, people who would normally run for $25 are not running.
The museum's new location next to the Albany Pump Station, sharing a courtyard with the Old English Pub, hasn't even had its grand opening yet. They moved just weeks before the pandemic shutdowns last year. Stack says she remembers the exact day the museum closed because she was on WAMC's Vox Pop Food Friday.
On Friday, the 13th last year, you know, we were gearing up for the biggest week of our lives in our new home, which we had just been in for a month and only open to the public for 2 weeks. And, you know, we recorded with WAMC and came back, and I, you know, there had been rumbling since the Thursday. People were concerned about the parade, and then all of a sudden Friday it kind of hit the fan, and by the time we got back down here to the museum, we were told we were closed.
Stack is in the United States on a work visa. She says during the pandemic, immigrants like her aren't allowed back into the U.S. if they leave.
My granny is 86, 87 years of age, so she's cocooning at home in Ireland. So, you know, you're kind of just hoping that nothing goes wrong because we did actually have a death in the family and I wasn't able to go home for that. It's the first time I've been abroad, you know, when someone dies.
Stack says the past year has been filled with mixed blessings. She says the shutdown gave them time to renovate the museum, building more interactive sections like the thatched Irish cottage and a cold water New York flat people can walk through. But she says going virtual was a steep learning curve. Stack remembers starting out with just her cell phone, uploading some short videos of exhibits on Instagram.
Okay, good afternoon all. We're back for our second installment of Monday at the Museum with a look behind the scenes at some of our collection. I wanted to talk today about first
Stack
responders.
Says she had to get creative to grow an audience on social media, like when they had a fiddler for their sidewalk sale of Irish books, music, and gifts in October. Or showing some of the museum's portraits of prominent Irish figures in June.
So this last painting is a painting of Countess Markievicz, or Constance Gore Booth, as she was born in Sligo, along with her sister.
Or a look at the museum's workhouse model around National Famine Commemoration Day in May.
Here again you can see the dining room, which had space for a chapel at the front. Again, the dining room was probably the place where you saw your family for the end, but talking was not allowed amongst the inmates.
Stack says she had to turn her attention to an aspect of museum management she never had to prioritize before, reaching an audience virtually.
We weren't prepared to go online. It's very difficult, I have to say, to monetize things online. So, you try to straddle the gap of our education mission still exists, you know, and it took us a good few months, to be honest, to get Zoom. We only got Zoom because we're part of a project through the Museum Association of New York and IMLS. So if we hadn't gotten that grant, you know, our technology was far behind, you know.
But Stack says once she embraced the technology, it broadened the museum's reach.
I'm giving about 30 talks this month, you know, to Chicago and California and Maryland and, you know, places that the museum itself wouldn't have been able to reach because, you know, you just cater to a local audience most of the time.
The museum now live streams Irish bands, crafting exhibits like basket weaving, and historical talks multiple times per week. Stack says all of those events are free, so what's keeping the museum running is membership donations.
We were very lucky. Our community rallied. Our membership has stayed where it was, if not increasing. You know, so people are renewing. People are donating. We ran a couple of, you know, small little fundraisers for COVID or for Thanksgiving, you know, those kind of things. So, we've been very lucky in lots of ways. And our overheads are not huge. As I say, I'm the only, you know, salaried employee. So we've found a way to navigate, but we are certainly down in income, there's no doubt.
Stack says on this St. Patrick's Day, she's reflecting on what it means to be Irish, what it means to be American, and what those two nations have in common when it comes to hardship.
This pandemic really made me think about what the ancestors of the Irish Americans today went through. So, like most famine refugees lived for 7 years only. You know, they didn't come to America and have a long, happy, successful life. You know, they really did die within 7 years, a lot of them. So you sacrifice a lot, you work hard, and you hope that things will get better, you know. And I think that's kind of what the pandemic has been about. You have to hunker down, you have to really discover what's important.
May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall softly on your fields, and until.
As the vaccine rollout points the way to the end of the pandemic, smaller St. Patrick's Day celebrations are planned. Donald Joseph Kelly, better known as Irish Don Kelly, inherited his love of Irish music from his great-grandparents, who were Irish immigrants. Kelly has been playing Irish music for over a decade in the capital region. Kelly, from Watervliet, was setting up for a live stream event at the museum when I dropped by.
My great-grandfather came over from Tipperary, in Ireland, in the late 1800s, during the tail end of the famine, and when probably 6 million people emigrated from the island.
Kelly says when he hears Irish music, he feels the warmth of the heritage. He says it gets into your soul.
And I'm going to ask you to play for me.
Okay.
Can you do that for me?
Absolutely. Do you have any... favorite Irish song that you would like me to sing?
I tell him to play his favorite, but I like to think I inspired his song choice a little bit.
She is handsome, she is pretty, she's the belle of Belfast City. She's a Gordon, 1, 2, 3, please won't you tell me who is she?
Stack says now that the parade isn't happening, it feels like a hole in the holiday. Which is ironic because she says the parade is an American tradition that was brought over to Ireland.
It was, you know, the immigrants asserting their pride, you know, first of all, that they maintained their heritage, but also demonstrating that they were good American citizens. So the American parades, you know, are a little bit more formal. It's all of the cops, all of the firemen, all of the army, you know, to show you, like, we came here and we contributed and we're respectful of our past, but we're, and, you know, happy to be here in our present.
Stack says, if you're an American, somewhere in your blood is the spirit of an immigrant.
So St. Patrick's Day this year might make us more mindful of the sacrifices that the people who came before us went through, and so might make us more appreciative, actually, of both what we have today as Irish Americans or as Italian Americans and, you know, Mexican Americans, but also to see that we can get through it. You know, like, we've been through tough times. You know, I watched an Irish comedian at home and he said, we were waiting for this to happen. You know, like, we like a dose of bad news every 20 or 30 years. So maybe the Irish are built, you know, for bad news. But I think that's important, that to celebrate, you know, what we have still maintained, even though we've been through such a hard time, whether that's 1845 or 2020.
Meet again. May you keep safe. A gentle, loving arms of God.
Stack says the museum has something for everyone, covering the Irish presence in military, culture, labor, education, and even what she calls the naughty ones, the more infamous characters.
So I'm excited to tell a national story, and that, you know, kind of investigates or encourages you to look at your own background. You don't have to be Irish to appreciate the human story, you know, behind this move and this transformation of what it is to leave home and find a new home.
In the rain and the hail blow high and the snow come tumbling from the sky. She's as nice as apple pie. She'll get her own life by.
Today, on St. Patrick's Day, I wouldn't be doing my duty without bringing you some Irish phrases to shout over your pints. Stack was happy to oblige.
Sláinte, of course, is the most important one, which is technically a toast, and it just means good health. So sláinte, and then Cad Míle Fáilte is 100,000 welcomes or welcome. you would say Banachtí Lá Féile Pádraig to say Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's blessings of St. Patrick's Day. And Gaurav Mahagut is thank you.
Come down from the mountain, Katie Daly. Come down from...
No matter how Irish you are today, Cait Míle Fólcha and Sláinte. Reporting from Albany, I'm Jackie Orchard for WAMC News.
Thank you very much.